Well, good evening, class. My name is Reverend Gotro, and I'll be teaching you for the next few classes on spiritual authority. But I want to make a couple of opening statements before we get started. We're going to teach through the book, but I basically want to hit most of the high points because it's impossible to cover everything in this book. And about my testers, I test of mostly true and false questions, and a lot of them pertain to what we teach. So if you take good notes, you're gonna do real good here in my classes. And there are no trick questions on my test. It's either gonna be obviously true or obviously false. And the goal is to make sure that you know the truth and not to try to flunk you or make it difficult, but we want you to know exactly what's being taught in the class. And as you know, we're under the apostolic government in this school with our apostle, Leroy Thompson, and we follow pretty close along with the agenda that he has already set up. Matter of fact, we do follow the agenda. And so without further ado, I want you to turn your book to the first chapter, and that's going to be God's throne is established on authority. Brother Watchman Nee book, and this is one of the most detailed lessons on authority that we've found, and it had been in the school for some years, and apostle. Highly recommend this book that you need to have it on your belt. So, introduction, we're going to read our introductory scriptures, Romans 13 and 1. And let me turn to it right quick. Matter of fact, I think I might read this right out of the book. So, give me 1 second to turn to it, and we'll be on our way. Okay, here we go, class. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. Now, I want you to underline the word powers in your book because it's better translated as authority, and we're going to find out so much later in the book why it's understood as authority, because it's going to give us a better understanding of our goal that's being set for us. So I'm reading one more time. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher authority, for there is no authority but of God, and the authority that be are ordained of God. Well, let's put a peg right here. There is no authority but of God, and the authority that be, or the powers that be, are ordained of God. So, class, what we're saying is that everything that exists, every power, and we're going to be talking about government here, that we have to be in understanding of God's government when it comes to authority, because this lesson going to affect our entire life. And that's the good part about it. It affects everything around us, and everything we do has to do with this lesson on authority. It starts in the church, in the family, home setting, and in the local government. The judicial system that we deal with. I mean, the law, the rules of the road, rules everywhere going to be covered in here, and it's going to determine your level of obedience to authority once we learn what God's thoughts are about this. Now, God is the only authority. Now, I'll put a peg there, because when you say God the only authority, or God is authority, the only authority, it's a little vague to our understanding, and we have to come to grips that what we were talking about is a sovereign God. God is sovereign, all powerful, all might. God has all ability. God has all knowledge. God has all wisdom. We're talking about the mighty God. So when we say that God is authority, God rules and reigns and regulates everything. There's only one true God, and everything else is a lie. So I'm trying to give us an impression of what authority represents when we say that God is authority. So he stands above all authority. And then we're going to find out that there's some what we call delegated authority set up by God through his word. And they all function under his government, under God's government. Even when we talk about secular government, it all function under God's authority. So now, class, I'm gonna read this over again, and I'm gonna try not to interrupt myself as we go through this, because I'm trying to paint a picture. So when we dive into this lesson, we have a clear understanding of who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God Almighty. We're dealing with the authority. So I want you to see it clear, and I hope we paint a decent picture this morning on or tonight on what we're doing. Now, let every soul, every living soul, this is the godly and the ungodly. We're talking about every soul that exists on planet Earth. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher power, the higher authority. For there's no power but of God, and the power that be are then of God. Now, I hope that's a little bit clearer. Therefore, he that resisted, underline that word resisted, because we're going to find out here there's certain terms that's going to be used that identify this word that we're going to be using a lot in this class, that is going to identify rebellion. Rebellion is going against authority. So when you see the word resist, underline it, because it's also talking about rebel. Therefore, he that resisted the power or the authority withstandeth the ordinance of God. Now, we know the ordinance of God is the word of God. God established principles. God established laws. So whosoever resisted God's plan, God's order, God's laws, God's word. So when you come against these delegation of authorities, we're saying you're coming against God himself. You can't sin against one without sinning against the other. And so I want to press this point. So as we go into it, we have some understanding. We'll be on common ground here when we're talking about resisting authority. So read that statement again. Therefore, he that resisted the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. Receive to themselves judgment. They will bring upon themselves judgment. You see, and that's what the way, that's why God's word is so divinely, is in order. The word brings judgment. God judges everything from his word. So God don't have to look down from heaven and wait every time we make a mistake to judge us, and like he's watching us all the time. His word is set in place, it becomes the judgment, and it judges us. And so we receive the judgment from the laws or the ordinance that God has. It's become our judge and our law. So we receive to ourselves. It says themselves, but I'm personalizing. We receive to ourselves judgment. So there are laws, and laws are broken every day. And the strange and the fearful part of it is that in this age, this day, we're living in a time of lawlessness. The Bible talks about it, lawlessness, a time when people live without law, have no respect, no regard for law or authority. Well, we're in that day, class, where there's no respect for law or government or authority. But it doesn't change what God says about it. You see it? So we'll have to learn this lesson and pay more attention to it, even more today than yesterday. Because there's been a paradigm shift in the way people think, in the way Satan is planning his attack upon the church and upon the children of God and upon the world system of government is under attack. You can see it in the news every day. So the world system of a government is under satanic attack when it comes to rebellion. And we're going to find out the author of rebellion is Satan. Matter of fact, we'll get into the next class about the fall of Satan and the origin of Satan. And there's so much for us to cover, class. But I'm going to try not to get too far ahead of myself. But we're talking about we bring judgment unto ourselves. And that's the point I want to bring up. So, for rulers, listen to this now, for rulers are not a terror to the good works. See, I'm reading out another translation. King James might read a little bit different. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Now, when you say rulers, we're talking about all those in authority. And one of the easiest things, or the most common rulers that we face every day, which makes good, what I can have a good example with it, is our system, well, our police system, our local government, our local government that protects and serves us every day on a daily basis. We're going to use them, for example, as rulers. They are not a terror to good works. Now, we can't judge everything by some bad apples in every, you see, because you got people in law enforcement that they have different agendas and they corrupt, that's corruption in everything. But for the basis, all the system, government, is to protect and to serve us. And so my point is they're not a terror to good works. If you do that with good, if you're driving 70 on the interstate, they're not going to bother you. Matter of fact, they may give you a wave and you might give them a wave. But when you break the law, they become a terror. When you run red lights and run stop sign and make illegal turns and do things that are unlawful, that's when they become a terror. And when you break the law, there's consequences of breaking the law. And so my point is, if you abide by the law, they're not a terror to us. And that's what the scripture is saying. So we're talking about the secular government and spiritual government. And government in the home. We're going to deal with the three worlds. The world system, which is secular government, the church system, and then the home system. When I say system, but we're talking the home government, husband and wife and children, pastors and those that are submitted to him. And the world system, we have a presidents, and some nations have kings, and some have different rule of government, but they're all saying that authority. Now, we're going to get to it more, and we're going to find out when to obey authority and when not to obey authority. God had this system set up for us where we can function under his law. We're not being corrupted by those laws that have been corrupted by the world system. Now, pay close attention to what I said. That's laws that have been corrupted by the world system that go against God's divine law that undergird all government. You see it? Because they are perverted laws, perverted things that have been implemented by wicked men in government. And so there's a time to obey, and there's a time to not obey under God's leading, because you can't defy the principle of what God says in His Word. So, Claire, we're going to try to cover it all. It's so much, but in this introduction class, it's hard for me to get right into it because I'm trying to introduce it. I'm trying to bring the lesson in so we can have a pretty good understanding of what we're fixing to get into here, because it's going to help us to understand God's ways of doing things, God's government. And the whole principle is to understand God's government. Now, I was told that a banker, when he's training his tellers, he don't tell them how to identify every counterfeit bill, because there's so many counterfeits. And so he trained them on God's, he trained them on a true bill. You take a $100 bill, for instance. They study that bill left and right. So anything that comes along that don't look like it is a counterfeit. Well, back to God's government. Once we learn God's government and how God functions in His government, what God laws and God ordinance and God word says, then anything comes after it or as a counterfeit is easily identified, class, because you understand what God's word is. And it becomes simple. You don't have to try to figure out when to obey, when not to obey. You know what the word of God says. His law should become written in our heart. But if you're ignorant to the law of God, you're going to pay the penalty of operating under the wrong government and trying to get heavenly answers. Okay, class? Now, let me see, can I go a little bit further here? Now, we're not a terror to good work, but to the evil. And would thou have no fear of the power or the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Well, we know we don't carry swords. Police officers don't carry swords anymore. I remember a few years ago, one of the students in the class was a police officer. And when he got born again, he felt uncomfortable, you know, with his gun and everything. And so I guess, you know, when I got born again, I didn't want to kill a fly. I didn't want to kill a gnat. I didn't want to kill anything because, boy, everything became so pure. So when he got born again, he was a police officer. He began to look at things differently. So as a police officer, he said, man, I don't have to pull his gun and have to shoot nobody. But when he began to see the scriptures that God ordained that part of government, and he does not carry the sword in vain. In other words, that sword is to protect himself and others. So he understood that God ordained certain things. God, because everybody don't believe in Jesus. Everybody not going to follow the law. Everybody not going to understand your words. And everybody not going to be obedient and just come along peacefully. And so you have to have some type of protection for yourself and to protect others. And so I think he understood it after a while. So he beareth not the soul in vain. If thou do that which is good, be afraid, for he beareth not the soul in vain. For he is a minister of God, and listen to this, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. He avenged those that do evil, and it's his job. God stand behind it, God back it. There's no guilt or no condemnation behind it because it comes with the system. Wherefore, you must need to be in subjection. Now, this is where maturity come in. Therefore, you must need be in subjection, not only because of wrath, not only because of the consequence. You see, you shouldn't break the law. You shouldn't have to be afraid and don't break the law because of consequence. Boy, I don't want speed. I don't want speed because I don't want to get caught. Or I don't want to run red light. I'll tell you what happened. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with our church location. But, you know, sometime when I was on staff, we would leave the church late sometime. And the traffic is slowed down almost to nothing sometime at night. And that's the red light on Highway 22 with 44 crosses. And when I get to the red light, you know, I have to go through it. But the light was red. And I'm sitting there. Nobody coming from the north. Nobody coming from the west. Nobody coming from the east. And I'm sitting at the red light, just waiting for the light to turn green. And I say to myself, this don't make any sense. Nobody coming, but here I'm held up because of a light. And this light had become my governor. It telling me what to do and what not to do. Now, I could either do things, obey that light or disobey that light. And then I recognized that was my authority at that time. And I could have broken the law because there was no one around to accuse me. But this next part of the verse brought me a revelation. Now I'm gonna read this again. Look what it says here. It says, wherefore ye must needs be in subjection, not only because of wrath of consequences, but also for conscience sake. And that's where maturity come in, class. When you do things because of conscience sake, your conscience just won't permit you to do certain things. And that's when you know you're mature. I don't run a red light, not because of fear of being caught, because my conscience just won't let me. The word of God in me create a pure conscience that won't let me break God's law because I'm submitting more to God than to doing what is wrong or evil in God's sight. So my conscience wouldn't let me, and that's the mark of maturity. And so you want to do what's right because of conscience sake. You see, Apostle Paul said in Romans 9:1, my conscience bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, it says. So the Holy Ghost is the one that creates this righteous consciousness in you. A righteous conscience from the Holy Ghost keeps me from doing what my flesh wants to do. My flesh wants to run that red light so bad because I'm tired and I'm ready to go home, but my conscience wouldn't let me. And I say, amen, red light. Red light, you win. Red light, you my master. Red light, you my authority. And I'm submitting to you right now. Look like it don't make no sense, but I'm submitting to you right now because that's the law. And guess what? It's to protect me. Laws are to protect you, not to harm you. And once I got the understanding of that, even the speed limit, even all these stop signs, all these yield signs, the laws are for protection and not to harm us. And so once you have the right insight about this, then you can flow with the government system that has been set up. All right, for conscience sake, it says, conscience sake. For this cause, then it goes on a little further. You pay tribute also, or taxes, for they are ministers of God's service, attending continually upon this very thing, render to all they do tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor. Jesus, the one told him about the taxes. He told Peter, an apostle, teach that a lot. Told Peter to go and catch a fish. And the first fish that coming up, you're gonna have a money in his mouth. Go and pay the taxes for me and thee. So Jesus followed the government system that was already set up. So it let us know that the government system is ordained by God and it's right. And my point is, you got to watch that corruption in everything, but do that which is right. And the Holy Spirit, you know, you can't get spiritual. Oh, my spirit told me don't pay my taxes. No, you can't say that. The Spirit of God ain't gonna tell you that. No. It's laws that govern the system, that keep the system flowing. The system has to keep flowing. And so God knows that, you know, that was temple tax, that was all kind of taxes. And so we pay taxes. And sometimes we argue about how high the taxes are, but the system set up, and if you don't obey it, you're gonna have to pay the consequence of whether you agree with it or not sometime. Okay? Now, let's see what other scripture. Let's read this one here. And this scripture here is over in Hebrews 1 and 3. And then we're going to get to our lesson. We're going to have a few minutes to get into our notes. But I have to read the scripture to bring us up to speed of the introduction or where we're going. Now, Hebrews, where are we? 1 and 3. Look what it says. Who being the effluent, now, King James, I'd rather read this than King James. Let's find this. Open your Bible. Let's look at this in King James Version. And so I get a better understanding in King James. Hebrews 1 and 3. Let me find it here. Hebrews 1 and 3. Almost there, class. Okay. Hebrews 1 and 3. It says, who being, hold up. Make sure I'm in the right verse here. Let's start the first verse. Start the first verse, class. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, here's the third verse, but I didn't want to just start right at this verse, he said. Who being the brightness of his glory, talking about the Son, talking about Jesus, is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Upholding, we're going to deal with the part, upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, it's so much to say about this, because it has to be understood when we talk about upholding all things by the word of his power. It has to be brought out, and we're going to bring it out in our notes right here. But upholding all things by the word of his power, it's a little blind. He's leaving a little blind right here, because we're talking about the word of his power. But Brother Nee said it's better translated as the word of his power, of his authority. And we're going to get into that, but just hold that thought. And we're going to begin our notes, because we're going to work our way through Romans 13, and then we're going to end up, if we have time, have a few minutes left in this class, we're going to work our way down to Hebrews 1 and 3, showing the government and how this thing going to come together. All right, class? So I'm moving to the books, and it's going to help us to deal with it. God's throne established on his authority. It says the acts of God issued from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. Now, I got to explain that. The acts of God issues from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. God throne is his place of authority. That's the sovereignty we talked about earlier. That's God's might. That's God's almightiness. That's the God that created everything. I'm trying to make it where we can catch it. That's all authority, all power, all might. That's the supremacy of who God is. The only true God. What we're saying is, that's his position of authority. Everything was created from that throne and that position of authority. And here's what we have to understand. It says, all things was created by his authority. All things are created through God's authority. And all physical laws of the universe are maintained by his authority. God's authority created the heaven and the earth. And all the laws of the universe maintains that divine order that God created. What I'm saying is, class, his word going to stand for his act. Well, let me back up a little bit. Over in Psalm 103, the scripture says, God show his acts, A-C-T-S, unto the children of God, and show his ways unto Moses. Well, what was God's acts? God acts when he opened up the Red Sea. God acts when all the 10 plagues came before Pharaoh. God acts when the staff turned into a serpent. That God working of his mighty power, his demonstration of his mighty power is God's acts. So God acts is a result of his authority. His acts come from his throne. His power come from his authority. So God's power is a release. Listen to me close, class. I'm not trying to confuse you. God's power is a release of his authority. God's authority is released through power. And that will create the acts of God, the manifestation of his authority. You see, his authority created the heaven and the earth. You see, but his word, which is the release of his power, See, God releases power through word. When God released his power, then that was a manifestation of God's creative ability. That was a creation was came into play of God through God's authority. Well, I'm trying to say it in different ways so you can catch it, because that's a very important point that's gonna carry us throughout this lesson. So every time God does something, it comes from his authority. You see it? Because authority is who God is. It's not something that he has. Authority who God is. And that authority rules and reigns everything. When we talk about spiritual authority, we're talking about God's authority. Almighty God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. The one who rules and reigns everything. He's authority. And once we get to understand that, then we'll understand how God delegates his authority to others. You see it? Now, I stayed in this place too long. I'm going to read again now. The act of God, I explain what the act of God is. The act of God is the release of his authority. It released through words. You see it? The act of God issues from his throne, which is the position of authority, and his throne is established on his authority. All things were created through God's authority, and all the physical laws of the universe are maintained through that authority, through his word. You see it? You see it? The laws are maintained through. And so what does Hebrews 1 and 3, we're going to find out in a little bit. Now, all the physical laws are maintained by his authority. Hence, the Bible expressed it as upholding all things by the word of his power. And we just read that. So God upholds all things. All his creation are upheld by the word of his power. Well, and that's why we figure to say by the word of his power of the source, which is authority. All things are maintained by the word of his power. They upheld. In other words, God don't have to speak to the sun every morning to rise. You see it? God don't have to speak to creation and tell the rain and the dew to fall. God don't have to keep this thing, the earth, in its rotation. And God don't have to keep the sun a certain distance from the earth to keep the earth from burning up. What I'm saying is his authority established it, but it's upheld by the word of his authority. And that stands. Nothing can change that. I'm trying to get us to see, class, you know, and without trying to confuse anybody what we're saying. So God is authority, and he upholds everything by the word of his authority, or by the word of his power, of his authority. It's upheld. God's law, which is the word, is set into motion. Nothing changes. Nothing can change it. Morning still going to be morning. Night still going to be night. You see what I'm saying? Nothing can change it. The Bible says, long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest gonna remain. Certain God's creation don't need to be maintained by men. His authority created it, and the word of his power maintains it. It upheld. I said all that to try to make it make some kind of spiritual sense. Well, class, we're gonna get into this a little bit more, but that's as far as I can go. It mostly was an introduction onto our lesson, it's gonna be clarified more as we go, and not to try to confuse us, but to give us a clear understanding. And I have to bring this in to give understanding what authority is and the purpose of it and how it's maintained. Well, you've been in good class tonight, and I'm gonna see you next time. God bless.